Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance."
Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Luke 15:11-32. And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf. Kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has now come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. Amen.
Thank you so much for reading and the amazing worship time. Let us pray as we go into a time of study. Lord Jesus, we thank you that the children are with us, and we thank you that today we are worshiping the one and true God with four generations in our midst. We thank you that as we worship Jesus Christ, we join with thousands of years of generations who have proclaimed this one true message: Christ crucified. Christ risen and Christ coming again. We are your family, the body of Christ, your church. We thank you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit who has quickened us to life. We thank you for faith. Help us now to hear the Father's love for all of his children. Help us to live with that heart and to be moved with compassion. Thank you that we belong to you. Thank you that you have made it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're doing the promise of belonging today. And it's so perfect that today the kids are with us because I want all the generations to know that Father loves you and he wants you to come home to him. It doesn't matter if your problem is that you're caught up in sin or if your problem is you're caught up in self-righteousness, whether the problem is you've been in church your whole life or the problem is you've been running from church your whole life. The reality is that the Father loves you. And whether you're caught up in legalism and moralism as a way to God or you don't want to have anything to do with God, that doesn't change the Father's heart. God loves you and God wants you to come to himself. And so I want you to hear this memory verse one more time. The last two verses of the chapter, Luke 15, verses 31 to 32. And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, was lost and has been found." And those last words there, he was lost and has been found, is what unites Luke 15 together. Jesus as the master teacher, who's basically saying, "Hey, y'all, pay attention. I'm about to make a big point here." And so he tells three parables because, you know, every good teacher uses repetition to make the point. Okay, so this parable, the parable of the prodigal son, which is our emphasis today, can also be called the parable of the lost son. I've also heard it called the parable of the lost sons because you'll see that they're both actually lost, even though one stayed home, because neither of them are pursuing the heart of the Father. I've also heard it the parable of the Father's love, because really what it's about is the heart of God for all of his children. Once again, whether you're caught up in the sin of sinfulness or you're caught up in the sin of self-righteousness, you're still caught up in sin. Because there's nothing worse than spiritual pride, even though we're quick to find pride in others. God loves you. I love you. And I want you to know the Father's love, which is so much greater than my love. So what we have here are three parables. We have the parable of the lost sheep, we have the parable of the lost coin, and then we have the parable of the lost son. And there's a twist in the story. This whole chapter must be read together. You know, we love to analyze scripture. I love it. I can do a sermon series on one word of the Bible. There's so much power in every word of scripture. But this chapter must be read together because Jesus was making a point by building upon and building upon and then building upon. And I want to point that out to you. First, I want you to know that God is the central character of each parable. God is the central character of each parable. God is like the good shepherd who goes to great lengths to find the one lost sheep, right? Amen. God is like the woman who goes to great effort to find the one lost coin. And God is like the father who eagerly waited to receive back the one lost son. And there's so many nuances. I can't cover every aspect. Yes, sheep are dumb and need a shepherd to go get them. I get that. Yes, a lost coin is inanimate and cannot find itself. I get that. And in this third parable, you have a human being who has their own agency, their own autonomy, their own free will, their own decision-making authority. And God demonstrates respect for both of his son's agency, for both of his son's ability to make their own decisions. So you'll see right away that there's some differences in these parables, okay? And that's why we love to analyze things, because it's easier for us to pick apart the differences. But what I want you to do is I want you to see from a simple point of view, how Jesus is setting us up for the third parable. You are being set up by the master teacher so that you will see the Father's love. Okay, here we go. There's a twist. What happens in the first parable? The good shepherd goes to search for and to find the lost sheep, right? What happens in the second parable? The woman searches for and finds the lost coin. What is missing from the third parable? No one goes to search for the lost son. This parable is offensive to the Eastern culture on many levels. I've taught this parable before. You know this. If you forgot, you can go back and listen to some of those messages. Otherwise, we'll be here all day and your kids will not like me. And I want your kids to love me because I love them. Let me just sum it up like this. Who do you think was supposed to go look for the younger son in this culture? The elder son. The elder son was supposed to go. Too dignified for the father. The fact that the father even runs out when the son comes home is scandal to the Eastern culture. No self-respecting patriarch would ever run, especially to a disobedient child who should be stoned to death. Yes, that drastic. This story is a scandal, and the people that Jesus is speaking it to know it's a scandal. Jesus loved to teach stories that are a scandal. We've just gotten so familiar with them that we've lost the scandal of grace. We've lost the scandal of a God who loves this way. It was the older brother. When the older son does not go after his younger brother, and you have been set up by parable one, the good shepherd goes and finds what was lost. You're set up because the woman went and searched for and found a cone. When you read this third parable, you're like, something is wrong with this story. Something is missing, and I am hurt and confused by it. I am distraught. I'm in despair. Something is wrong with this story. And Jesus, in fact, keeps the story going past, I mean, honestly, as good evangelical Baptist, we think the story should end at verse 24. I mean, honestly, let's be frank about this. Jesus should have ended the story at verse 24. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Why do we need verses 25 to 32? Because that's the point of the parable. The whole point of this parable is not the ending of verse 24, even though that's what we've made it. Who was Jesus talking to? Look at verses 1 and 2, Luke 15, 1 and 2. Who is Jesus talking to? Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to him to listen. Both the Pharisees and the scribes, so you have the younger sons who are the tax collectors and sinners. They're the rebellious ones, the ones who have not been following Torah, the ones who have been far from the Levitical law, the ones who have not been walking in Jewish faithfulness to the God who chose them. Then you have the older brothers, the self-righteous leaders who follow every single commandment and have never left home and feel entitled. But verse 2, both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. This Jesus is welcoming younger sons. And Jesus says, I got three parables for you guys. Do you get it? Do you see it? The whole context is Jesus talking to the entitled, self-righteous churchgoers. To the pastors who feel like they're entitled. To all of us who feel like because what God has done for us somehow entitles us. Because I put enough coins in the machine, I should be able to pull whatever thing I want to get whatever thing I want from the cosmic vending machine I call God. Jesus is like, you need to see the heart of my God. You need to see the love of my Father. He says there's a good shepherd who left to go after the lost sheep. And they're like, yep, got that. Agreed. There's like this woman who lost a coin. And of course, a bunch of greedy religious leaders said, of course, get that. You're going to look for that lost offering envelope that got dropped. He says, the father loves both sons. And I know that you think the point is just that one lost one, but guys, I've come for you. I've come for you who are caught up in religion so that you can have a relationship with God. Because religion does not save. Let me say that again. Religion has never saved. Only a relationship with God through his authorized way has saved. And the way to the Father is Jesus Christ. The only way. So Jesus set these stories up on purpose to get through to his synagogue, his gathered people, his church, and to get through to those who were called to reach their communities and to reach those who were scattered and had walked away from the faith. But in sending them to accomplish the mission, which was to seek and to save the lost, right? Luke 19:10, that's why the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He pointed out to them that, hey, don't get lost yourself, because I came after you too. This is an important setup. So Jesus's parable invites our hearts to yearn for three things. So three things. Ready? I believe when you read these three parables, first, after reading the prodigal son, your heart will yearn for the elder brother to come and search for you. Jesus Christ, the true elder brother. Jesus told this parable, and he basically pointed out that there needed to be an elder brother who would go and search for the younger son. And do you know what Jesus fulfilled? Jesus is telling the story of why he came in this parable. Did you know that? That the parable of the lost son is because God's people were not being faithful to why God had chosen them. Jesus came from heaven to earth to show the way, right? And so in this parable, he's saying, this is why I came, because you're not doing what my father's asked of you, because there is no older son. I am the older son. I have come to seek and save you. I have come to show you how much Daddy loves you. And brothers and sisters, I am I pale in comparison to the glory and the goodness of Jesus. I am but a man. But I want to tell you, I love you. I love you. And I want you, no matter whether you've been sitting in the church your whole life or this is your first Sunday back, or maybe someone's listening to this online right now and you haven't stepped back in a church since COVID. Maybe you haven't stepped back in church ever since that Sunday school teacher said that to you. Or you haven't stepped back in church ever since that pastor was caught in an affair because you think they're all a bunch of hypocrites. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you, and he came as the elder brother so that you would know that Father loves you, and even when the older sons don't act like it, Jesus loves you. Even when there's church, you know, some people have never come back to the church because of church infights and church divisions, because of how pastors have acted or how Sunday school teachers have acted, or because someone rolled their eyes at them in the pew. Someone judged the way they dressed. Someone criticized the way they did their hair, and they've never been back to the church because they said, if that's the way God's people act, I want nothing to do with it. And I want to say to that person, whether you're here or listening, Jesus came because he knows that his church has not always been faithful. But that doesn't mean that God is not faithful. God is always faithful, even when his church acts like a bunch of older sons. In church, we need to hear that same invitation to start acting like the Father and have an open heart to both those in our midst who will not repent of their self-righteousness, but also have a heart for those who are lost, because we need to be kind and compassionate to both. We cannot let other people's pride or other people's ignorance stop us from being the most loving, generous, kind people in the room or in the community. The second thing this makes me yearn for is to do just that. I yearn that the Father would show me a great revelation of the Son as the elder brother, but I also pray that the Father would call me to be like Jesus. Listen to this from one of Jesus' parables. In Luke 14:23, Jesus commands, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. When the older sons of Israel were rejecting Jesus as Messiah, Jesus told a parable that said, though they will not come into the kingdom, you who hear my message, go out to the highways and byways. Go out to the hedgerows. Go out to the places where the crooks and the sinners, which is all of us, go out to the places where people are and bring them to me and show them the Father's heart. Don't show them a bunch of older brothers with bad attitudes. Show them the Father. Church, our job is to show the Father's heart. The Father's heart. We're not supposed to live in the place of the younger brother. We're not supposed to live in the place of the older brother. Both are lost. We are designed by God to belong to Him so that we reflect Him. We are image bearers of God. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming in you. It's not so you can do something that makes you stand out and be special. You're already special because God's chosen you. So you don't need to tear someone else down so you feel better. You're already chosen. You're already special. Now show the Father's heart and give to others what you cannot lose, which is grace. You can give more grace than you can imagine because there is an infinite abundant supply. And it will always flow. Now, the one thing you'll always get back is judgment, because you will be judged according to the judgment you give. So if you want to judge others, remember, that's a boomerang. Judgment is a boomerang. You will be judged by the same measurement you judge. It's a boomerang. But if you want to be streams of living water that always flow from the source of God's throne, then give grace. Give compassion. Give mercy. Give kindness. Because that's the heart of the Father. What's crazy about this story is he's not even judging the self-righteous. He's begging them to come home. Come into my house. Come to the party. Because God's heart is that none should be saved. We may not like each other because of the things we do, but God never stops loving us. And the third thing I yearn for is my true home. This is the Father's house. This is a human effort to create a sacred place that we call the Father's house. But one day we will be in the Father's house where there is no older son, younger son divisions, where we're all one with the Father. Because Jesus' prayer in John 17 is that we would be one as He and the Father are one. And if you know your doctrine, you know that Jesus and the Father are one. They've always been one. There's never been a time where they didn't exist in oneness. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are a perfect community, a perfect relationship, a perfect love, and we are called into that community to belong. That's why the Holy Spirit lives in us. That's why Jesus made a way for us, so that we can be one with the Father. 1 John 3:1, one of my favorite passages. See how great a love God has established, or God has bestowed, or God has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. John says, and such we are. Don't lose that. The Bible says that God demonstrated His love for us, that yet while we were still sinners, Christ died. Did Christ wait till we were cleaned up? Did Christ wait until we came home on our own? No, He went. And that's why Jesus came, because the older son of this parable didn't go because he was caught up in self-righteousness. Jesus said, I'm going to go. And then once you become mine, I'm going to send you out to the highways and byways and the hedgerows and go get them. Because the older son should have gone to get the prodigal son. But he didn't, and it's a scandal, and everyone knew it except for us because we've been kind of, I don't know, it's become too normal. When you sang this song, Amazing Grace, did that cause you to really realize how amazing grace is? If you have forgotten how amazing grace is, that's just an old song. But when you remember how amazing and how scandalous grace is, that song is amazing because God saved a wretch like me. I was blind, but now I can see. So these three parables teach us the heart of God. And that He values enough to search after us. Did you know that God loves you so much that He will go searching for you? In fact, that's why He sent His Son to go searching for you. Because he loves you. And is there someone in your life that you don't want God going search for? Is there someone in your life that you hate, that you just hope God will, you know, vanquish out of creation because of what they've done to you? That's the older son's heart, not God's heart. So if there's someone in your life, this is just a diagnostic, I'm not judgy, I'm just saying. If there's someone in your life that you want vanquished by God instead of reconciled, that's the heart of the older son. Whether it's an inanimate out there somewhere political figure or a group of people that doesn't agree with your nation, national loyalty, or your neighbor, or the person who's sitting across the pew from you because they didn't agree with you 20 years ago about the pastor, or 50 years ago because they didn't agree with you about tongues. And we're not going backwards. We're only going forward. But we have to acknowledge that if there is still division in the house because we have the heart of the older son, then you need to repent. There is no place in God's house for that heart. But come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Because you must be tired of carrying all that judgment. Jesus says, come to me with all that bitterness and rage and self-righteousness because it must make you exhausted. Come to Jesus with all of your angst and all of your self-righteousness and all of your pride and all of your fear and all of your doubt because he loves you. I love you. Even in the midst of that, I love you. Even in the midst of that, Jesus loves you. And you are not cast out. In fact, you're invited. You're invited to come. Come. Come to the throne of grace where you will receive forgiveness of sin freely through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Come, all who are weary. Come, all who are being crushed by religion and the burdens of legalism. Come, all who are far off living decadent, debaucherous lives because you are saying, I am free and I can do whatever I want. Come, Jesus loves you. He died for you. Come and find the way home to the Father's heart. All are welcomed. And did you know that that prayer of come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, was actually speaking to people who were burdened under religion, burdened by the law, felt crushed by expectations. And Jesus called them to himself and said, there's an old way, but there's a new way. I am the way. And my yoke is easy, my burden is light, because it's a relationship and the Holy Spirit will fill it. That's a compassionate movement because Jesus in Matthew 11, 20 to 30, if you read verses 20 to 25, he was talking to people that he just said, woe to you, Capernaum. It will be better for Sodom than it will be for you on the day of judgment. What? Jesus is speaking judgment over these people. And then in the next verse, just verses later, he's saying, come to me and I will take all that judgment onto myself and give you rest. Because even when we're off far from him, the Father's heart doesn't change us. Even when you're real close to him in his house, but your heart is far from him, he still wants you to come. Because that's the Father's heart. Are you moved by compassion to help God's lost children find their way home? Are you moved by compassion to help people come close to the Father? Are you moved by compassion to invite people to come to church or to invite people to come into your small group or to invite people out to coffee or tea to talk about how much God loves them? Are you moved by compassion? Because that's what moved Jesus. Time and time again, here's just some verses. This is in the blog if I go too fast. Matthew 9:36, Matthew 14:14, Matthew 15:32, Matthew 20:34, Mark, Luke. Time and time again, the Bible says Jesus was moved by compassion. In other words, he is moved by the Father's heart. Because he loves all of his children. Because you have been created for a relationship with God. From the beginning, in Genesis, you were made in the image of God. You were made for a relationship. But in the beginning, that relationship was broken And that's why Jesus came, to take that brokenness onto himself and repair the relationship. Because from the beginning, you have been made to belong to God and be a part of his family. And Jesus knew that. And that's why these parables are all about creating the greatest family reunion there ever will be. In church, we are supposed to be a little bit of heaven here on earth, a great family reunion. When we gather on Sundays, when we gather for prayer services, when we gather in our small groups, when we break bread together, we are proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified and risen and coming again by the breaking of bread and the drinking of the common cup. We are declaring who God is and why Jesus came. We are living out the life of the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not be cut off from the Father, but forever have a home with him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Think about heaven as home. Think about heaven as the Father's home. And he wants you to come home. And you're like, I don't want to come in because you let those other people in. And I've been loyal and faithful. Sorry, there are no places in heaven to segregate between those who have been good boys and good girls and those who haven't. There's only one room in heaven, and that's the throne room of grace, where the only way to enter is through the grace of God. Because all your self-righteousness is filthy rags in the eyes of God. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot give your way into heaven. It's grace. It's grace. It's Jesus's way. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. John 14:6. Jesus is the sheep gate by which the sheep enter. Jesus is the good shepherd who will not leave even one of the Father's children astray. Jesus is the elder son who did come and did search and did find and now calls us to join him in the mission. You are now a representative, an ambassador of Christ, a herald of the good news of God, to go to the highways and byways and bring him in. Bring him into the family of God, because it's not an exclusive club. It's God's chosen people to herald, proclaim, declare the mercies of God to all the nations. This is the plan of God, and Luke 15 establishes it clearly. Jesus did what the elder son should have done in Luke 15. Jesus restored the father's lost children and brought them home. And I want you to pay attention, because I'm going to bring it to a conclusion here. So, Kurt, come on up and start playing behind me. I love it when you do that, brother. You're a gifted worship leader. You know, when I ask people to do that, I start feeling like I got a little southern blood in me. So if my voice starts changing a little bit, I start thinking, going like, God said. But I want you to come in with me. Come in. Come on. Come in with me. This is an important conclusion that will change the trajectory of our church. That will change your life. You see, Jesus did what the elder son would not do. Jesus joined with the Father in the scandal of grace to go and do what culture thought was a little questionable, a little too lovey-dovey, a little too, not enough propriety, wasn't keeping up with reputations. What are they going to say at the Chamber of Commerce if we do that? What are they going to say at the next town council meeting about us? You see, Jesus restored the Father's lost children and brought them home. And in Jesus' parable, neither the younger son nor the older son, but neither of them was being faithful to the Father, because neither of them was reflecting the Father's heart. That's the point of the story. They were too busy focusing on their current entitlements and their future inheritance. They were too busy focusing on what they could get from the Father rather than knowing the Father's heart for his family. And here's the answer. God's greatest desire for all of us, regardless of age, because if you've been hearing me say a single word about age, you have not been listening. This doesn't matter your age. We're not talking about your age. We're talking about your heart condition. All right? This has nothing to do with your age. This has to do with whether you're struggling with the sin of sinfulness caught up in some kind of sin pattern, something in your life that you know doesn't please God and keeps you kind of down, or you're caught up with the sin of self-righteousness because you think you have none of those issues, and that just keeps you unattractive. The heart of Jesus is that you would come home through him, because he's knocking at your heart right now. Jesus is knocking and saying, come home. Repent of your sin and it will be forgiven. You belong to the family of God. And my prayer is that you will join me with me in this prayer, is that First Baptist Church will be a safe place for people to experience neither the younger son nor the older son, but that First Baptist Church will be a safe place where people will experience the Father's heart. And they'll experience Jesus Christ as the elder brother who came to seek and to save the lost. And we see ourselves as people chosen by God himself to be a part of that ministry. That this will be a safe place regardless of the issue. Don't let either your morality or your immorality be a barrier to belonging. Jesus came to give you a new life in him. Jesus came to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can live with power. Not so that you can live in condemnation of yourself or others. He came to fill you with his presence so that you can have peace of mind and heart, so that you can have wholeness and holiness, so that you can be a representative of him. And this can happen for our youngest, this can happen for our oldest, because you all are invited to come home to the Father today. Jesus wants all the Father's children to come home and belong to him and to one another, because we are the body of Christ, intended by God to belong to him, to belong to one another, because this is the work of Jesus Christ. This is why he came and this is why he died, so that our sins can be forgiven once and for all. So Lord Jesus, I pray that we would hear the simple gospel. That Jesus, the elder brother, has come to set free all the younger and older sons and daughters. That no matter our age, from the youngest in the room to the oldest, I pray that we will see the Father's heart and respond to Jesus. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, please baptize me with your Holy Spirit and to fill me to overflowing, so that your word and your love and your compassion and your mercy just bubble out of me. Lord, unite me with yourself. I want to be one with you, Father, so that I represent you and so that your power manifests. And unite our church as one body. Unite the tonight at 5 o'clock, Lord. Unite the Church of Henry County as the one body of Christ. Throughout our nation, unite the church as one body. Throughout the world, unite your church to be one body, one witness, one faith, one spirit. Oh, Lord, start here with us in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.